The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you're not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment of I'm Talking to You, originally recorded and broadcast on Thursday, July the 24th, 2025, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled How the Deagle.com Depopulation Figures Indicate a 2025 War Between BRICS and NATO That BRICS Will Win. And the time is 8:33 a.m. here in London, making it 3:33 on the East Coast of America, and just gone 12:30 on the West Coast of America. So welcome to wherever you are around the world. Okay, so this bonus show was made possible via five donations: a £5, a £20, a £100, a £25, and a £10 I received yesterday, which means that there will also be a bonus show tomorrow. I want to thank these kind supporters of the show, who together provided three bonus shows in 3 days. For every £50 I receive in single or combined donations, I do a bonus show. So if you want to be part of the next one, the donate button is at the top of my website, achshow.com, and the rest is up to you. Okay, so today's show title, How the Deagle.com Depopulation Percentages Indicate a 2025 War Between BRICS and NATO That BRICS Will Win, relates to the Deagle.com 2025 Projected Depopulation Percentages from the Wayback Machine, dated Tuesday, November the 22nd, 2016, the link to which you can find in the post for this show at achshow.com. In order to verify the Deagle.com projected depopulation percentage figures, I am about to read out to you. Simply click on the link and hover your mouse over the population column for each of the countries I'm going to run through you now. So first up, we're going to do the 10 BRICS nations. These are the Deagle.com projected, not necessarily depopulation percentages, but let's go through them. Brazil, 5% increase, so it goes up. China, 1% decrease. Egypt, 1% decrease. Ethiopia, 4% decrease. India, 8% increase. Indonesia, 5% increase. Iran, 2% decrease. Russia, 2% decrease. South Africa, 10% decrease. United Arab Emirates, 47% decrease. Next, the NATO nations Deagle.com projected depopulation percentages. Albania, 15% decrease. Belgium, 34% decrease. Bulgaria, 20% decrease. Canada, 27% decrease. Croatia, 11% decrease. Czech Republic, 20% decrease. Denmark, 33% decrease. Estonia, 30% decrease. Finland, 13% decrease. France, 31% decrease. Germany, 50% decrease. Greece, 55% decrease. Hungary, 8% decrease. Iceland, 48% decrease. Italy 24% decrease, Latvia 10% decrease, Lithuania 3% increase, Luxembourg 63% decrease, Montenegro 17% decrease, Netherlands 19% decrease, North Macedonia, referred to as Macedonia, 6% decrease, Norway 38% decrease, Poland 8% decrease, Portugal 38% decrease, Romania 10% decrease, Slovakia 8% decrease, Slovenia 19% decrease, Spain 51% decrease, Sweden 40% decrease, Turkey 1% decrease, United Kingdom 70% decrease, United States 81% decrease. Okay, out of breath now, a little drink of water. Okay, so here is my analysis of these percentages. South Africa, with a projected drop of 10% of their population in 2025, is the only country in the BRICS list that suffers more than a single figure percentage drop in their population, apart from, of course, the United Arab Emirates, that suffers a massive 47% drop in their population. Could this indicate that a NATO attack on the United Arab Emirates will result in a retaliatory attack by their fellow BRICS nations on the NATO nations? In April 2024, Dubai, the United Arab Emirates' largest city, received a year's rainfall in a single day, which some people have speculated was a targeted weather warfare attack. And if those who speculated this were correct, it would appear likely that their BRICS-aligned nations would have threatened a response to an attack such as this in the future. However, some of the NATO nations also only experience a single-figure percentage drop in their population. Hungary, Lithuania, North Macedonia, Poland, Slovakia, and Turkey. But are any of these nations supporting the Ukraine in their war against Russia at the same level as Germany, the United Kingdom, and the United States, who are all projected to experience a between 50% and 81% drop in their population? Whilst I feel all the nations of the world are controlled above and beyond those that we are told are in charge of their respective nations, the depopulation aims of the powers that should not be are well documented, and as such, whilst I hope my speculation is incorrect, a war between BRICS and NATO is indeed possible, and in the current geopolitical climate, with only 5 months left until the end of 2025, for me this is the most likely outcome of the 2025 Deagle.com depopulation percentages, if of course these are based upon genuine intelligence gathering and were not a psy-op all along. So everything I just read to you is going to be in the post for this show at achshow.com. I don't generally write a script, but it's taken me so long to get all the percentages together. And funnily enough, I just got to this stage in the show and realised that I'd made a couple of errors with the... I had everything as a decrease. And of course, there are some increases in population. I just started looking at them and oh, now I've got to start the whole show again. But not just that, I've got to check every figure again. Because we always... I mean, even the title, I talk about depopulation because it is basically, out of all these countries, there's over 40 there. I think there's only four that see a population increase. But the interesting thing is that... there's only one of those four in the NATO nations. That's Lithuania. And what was that? Was that a 3% increase? Have another quick look at that one. 3% increase. Now, Lithuania has got less than 3 million people as their population. So it's not going to be as big as, say, the 5% increase in Brazil's population, when their population is over 200 million, or the 8% increase in India's population, when their population is over 1.3 billion, or what was the other one? Indonesia, I think that they've got a 5% increase in their population, and their population is over 250 million. So I think Lithuania's 3% increase on a less than 3 million population is a mere drop in the ocean compared to these increasing populations of these three large BRICS nations. Okay, so as I say, these figures are, they're worth looking at. I've followed Deagle for years. I wanted to have another look at it when I knew I had another bonus show to do. I want to do something interesting and something analytical as well. So yesterday had a bit of fun with conspiracy theory, and the film gave us an opportunity to look at what conspiracy theories were like pre-9/11 and other different bits and pieces. Today, I wanted to go and look at, there were three big things for me. There's Planet X, which, you know, in a nutshell, is a planet that's apparently in our solar system, or it's going to pass by our... I won't get into all the minutiae, I don't understand it, quite frankly. Essentially, a planet, which is called Planet X, is going to supposedly pass by our planet. It's not going to collide with it, bang into it, but when it passes by, it's going to create some sort of magnetic force that could create a pole shift, all sorts of... Wherever it passes, it's going to experience extreme devastation. That is something that's been talked about for years. I was warned off that by people like my friend Pastor Steve, who said that he'd heard about it in the 90s. It never came to anything, and best left alone. But I've always been fascinated by it. So there's that. There's the Deagle figures that I believe first came out in 2013. I only became aware of them in 2015. Was following them ever since. Of course, a few years ago, they were taken off the website. But if you play about on the Wayback Machine, the reason I gave you the date of these figures is that there are various iterations of Deagle figures, so they would change their estimates. For example, the one that I'm using here from Tuesday, November the 22nd, 2016, has... the United States as the biggest drop at 81% decrease in the population. However, at some point after Trump got in, their percentage decrease went down to 70. And I believe the United Kingdom's went above the 70. So the UK suddenly went top. So if you want to go to the Wayback Machine and play about with this Deagle.com page and see what figures you can find and how they changed over time, if this is something that's of interest to you, then by all means go ahead. You should be able to, you know, use the link that I've provided in the post for this show as some sort of method of doing that. But below the figures, let me see if it's there. It's basically Deagle.com is some sort of military website. And I'll just read some of what is written in purple below the figures. So it says there have been many questions about the country's forecast, especially the one focusing on the United States of America. They won't be answered one by one, but below you can find some explanation, thoughts and reflections. We are going to keep this as short as possible. Well, it's not that short because I'm not going to read it all. The majority of the economic and demographic data used in the making of the forecast is widely available by institutions such as the CIA, the IMF, the United Nations, USG, don't know who they are, etc. You can see the most relevant data at every single country's page. There is a tiny part of data coming from a variety of shadow sources, such as internet gurus, unsigned reports, and others. But all these sources are from the internet and are of public domain for at least a minority. For example, several years ago, the Dagon, the Chinese ratings agency, published a report analysing the fiscal economy of the states, comparing it with those of China, Germany and Japan. The conclusion was that the US GDP was something between $5 to $10 trillion instead of $15 trillion as officially reported by the USG. We assume that the official data, especially economic, released by governments is faked, cooked or distorted in some degree. Historically, it is well known that the former Soviet Union was making up fake statistics years before its collapse. Western as well as other countries are making up their numbers today to conceal their real state of affairs. We are sure that many people out there can find government statistics in their own countries that by their own personal experience are hard to believe or are so optimistic that may belong to a different country. Okay, so that's the first paragraph. I will read the rest of it, actually, I may as well. Despite the numeric data quantity, there is a quality model which has not a direct translation into numeric data. The 2014 strain of Ebola has a death rate of 50 to 60%, but try to imagine what would happen if there is a pandemic of Ebola with hundreds of thousands of millions infected with the virus. So far, the few cases of Ebola-infected people have enjoyed intensive healthcare with antiviral and breathing assistance, but above all, with abundant human support by physicians and nurses. In a pandemic scenario, that kind of healthcare won't be available for the overwhelming number of infected, leading to a dramatic increase of the death rate due to the lack of proper healthcare. The quality factor is that the death rate could increase to 80 to 90% in a pandemic scenario from the stated 50 to 60% rate. The figure itself is not important. What is relevant is the fact that the scenario can evolve beyond the initial conditions from a 50% death toll to more than 90%. By the way, no pandemic or nuclear war is included in the forecast. The key element to understand the process that the USA will enter in the upcoming decade is migration. In the past, especially in the 20th century, the key factor that allowed the USA to rise to its colossal status was immigration, with the benefits of a demographic expansion supporting the credit expansion and the brain drain from the rest of the world benefiting the states. The collapse of the Western financial system will wipe out the standard of living of its population while ending Ponzi schemes such as the stock exchange and the pension funds. The population will be hit so badly by a full array of bubbles and Ponzi schemes that the migration engine will start to work in reverse, accelerating itself due to ripple effects, thus leading to the demise of the states. This unseen situation for the states will develop itself in a cascade pattern with unprecedented and devastating effects for the economy. Jobs offshoring will surely end, with many American corporations relocating overseas, thus becoming foreign corporations. We see a significant part of the American population migrating to Latin America and Asia, while migration to Europe suffering a similar illness won't be relevant. Nevertheless, the death toll will be horrible. Take into account that the Soviet Union's population was poorer than the Americans nowadays or even then. The ex-Soviets suffered during the following struggle in the 1990s with a significant death toll and the loss of national pride. Might we say twice the pride, double the fall? Nope. The American standard of living is one of the highest, far more than double of the Soviets, while having added a services economy that will be gone along with the financial system. When pensioners see their retirement disappear in front of their eyes and there are no servicing jobs, you can imagine what is going to happen next. At least younger people can migrate. Never in human history were so many elders among the population. In past centuries, people were lucky to get to their 30s or 40s. The American downfall is set to be far worse than the Soviet Union's one, a confluence of crisis with a devastating result. The demographic crisis in the former Soviet Union countries has extended for over two decades, if we accept that it ended early in this decade, the 2010s. The demographic crisis will hit the world in the near future and is projected to last between 3 and 8 decades, more or less, depending on technological breakthrough and environmental issues. The aftermath is more likely a frozen picture, with the population numbers staying the same for a very, very long period of time. The country's forecast population numbers do reflect births, deaths, but also migratory movements. Many countries are going to increase their gross population due to immigration, while their native population may shrink. Over the past 1,000 years, we have witnessed the Western civilization built around the Mediterranean Sea shifting to Northern Europe, and then by the mid-20th century shifting to an Atlantic axis to finally get centered into the States in the past 30 years. The next move will see the civilizations being centered in Asia, with Russia and China on top. Historically, a change in the economic paradigm has resulted in a death toll that is rarely highlighted by mainstream historians. When the transition from rural areas to large cities happened in Europe, many people, unable to accept the new paradigm, killed themselves. They killed themselves by a psychological factor. This is not mainstream, but it is true. A new crisis joins old, well-known patterns with new ones. Sorry to disappoint many of you with our forecast. It is getting worse and worse every year since the beginning of the pre-crisis in 2007. It is already said that this website is non-profit, built on spare time, and we provide our information and services as is, without further explanations and or guarantees. We are not linked to any government in any way, shape or form. We are not a death or satanic cult or arms dealers or some BS floating around the internet on this topic. Take into account that the forecast is nothing more than a model, whether flawed or correct. It is not God's word or a magic device that allows to foresee the future. Dated Sunday, October the 26th, 2014. So there you go. These figures have always fascinated me. But after that read up there, the bit where it said they're not predicting, I'll just give you that line again. By the way, no pandemic or nuclear war is included in the forecast. Well, have a look at some of the devastation in places like Ukraine, Gaza, things like that, where they haven't used nuclear weapons. Okay, so it doesn't have to, they're not ruling out war, they're ruling out nuclear war. If they were ruling out war, they would have just said war, not nuclear war, you see. So there is that. But as you go further, they sort of seem to be talking more about it's going to be a financial crash, which a lot of people are talking about at the moment. But people migrating from, you know, places like England to India and Indonesia, stuff like that, I find that hard to believe. I suppose anything is possible. But it is interesting to study this data. And I just noticed, actually, that at the top of the page, whether you scroll up or down, the Wayback Machine banner is at the top. And November the 20th, if you go to the right, you will see November 22, 2016 in yellow, and then you've got an arrow that can take you back to October 2015 or take you forward to April 2017. So I've just clicked the forward arrow to April 2017, which I'm hoping is going to give us another list of figures that may show the change that I witnessed after Trump came in. So these are the figures as of Thursday, April the 27th, 2017, that I just clicked by using that arrow I just mentioned. Let me see it. All right. Just wait. Hovering over United States. See if this is it. No, an 82% drop in the population, United States here on this one. So that's even worse. And that's after Trump was in, but there was definitely, I think, a date later than that. So we'll click on May, because the next one is May 2018. See what that has to say, just to get an idea of how the website developed over time, how these list of countries forecast. So that's just loading up now. And no, 81% drop. So I'm not going to bother looking at the We'll have a quick look at the UK on this. This one is Monday, May the 8th, 2017. See if the UK one actually increased. The population decreased further. UK, okay, for some reason, they're on page two. No, still 70% drop. So there you go. Anyway, it's fun to play about with. But that being said, I think that's everything covered about Deagle. We might touch on it again, but let's have a look at what I found of interest in the news since yesterday's show. So, first up, these protests about migrants in hotels, okay? They've been largely focusing on this hotel in Epping, but they've here's a headline from the Daily Mail. Canary Wharf anger. Four-star hotel in Canary Wharf prepares for arrival of hundreds of asylum seekers with extra beds and mattresses brought in after protesters gathered outside. Now, Canary Wharf is like, that was built as the replacement for sort of the city area of London. They were essentially going to migrate the people out the city area of London to Canary Wharf, this that was built on the old London Docklands. It's also called Docklands, actually. You have the Docklands Light Railway going through it, so it's all kind of financial centre. And it's amazing to think that right in the middle of that they're going to be putting one of these migrant hotels. But the line that jumped out at me here, there's a couple of paragraphs in this Daily Mail article. Following a string of violent demonstrations outside the Bell Hotel in Epping after an asylum seeker was arrested and charged with sexually assaulting a teenage girl 8 days after arriving in the UK, Essex Police is facing major questions after footage emerged of officers escorting pro-migrant activists to the hotel, despite the force initially denying this has happened. But Chief Constable Ben Julian Harrington today defended the force's handling of the protest, rejected claims of preferential treatment for pro-migrant protesters, and dismissed calls to resign. Reform UK leader Nigel Farage had called for Chief Constable Harrington to quit, saying the footage was absolutely disgraceful and heads must roll. He later posted footage allegedly showing pro-migrant protesters being bussed to the demonstration in police vans, but Essex Police said this was categorically untrue. This article has changed since yesterday. I should have really looked at it again after I saw this article. Headline from the BBC this morning. Police deny busing protesters to asylum hotels. So I was hoping to read what the Daily Mail originally put in for you and then go through this. But the Daily Mail have obviously updated it with some new information from Essex Police. Okay, but something that hasn't changed is people... another school are punished for wearing Union Jacks on Culture Day. This happened somewhere in the West Midlands. And I reported on the girl who wore the sort of Spice Girl type Union Jack dress to Bilton School in Warwickshire, rugby, where the game rugby was invented. There was even the Prime Minister came out and condemned that, said that shouldn't have happened, you know. But suddenly, even with that happening, we've got children at another school for wearing Union Jacks to their Culture Day being punished. So either they're not following the media or they've not heard about this incident at Bilton or they just don't give a damn. Okay, so I found that quite interesting, but it wouldn't be the first time that people in the education establishment, you know, just thumb their nose at what they're told to do if it doesn't follow their belief system. Okay, many of you will have heard the story that following Ozzy Osbourne's death, one of the stories that I was reading about in, you know, they do an overall story about him, you know, kind of an obituary, I suppose. But essentially, it was the story of him when he was visiting San Antonio in 1982, he urinated on the Alamo Cenotaph, known as the Spirit of Sacrifice. As a result, he was arrested for public urination and intoxication, leading him to being banned from San Antonio for 10 years. That was before he made a public apology. But after he died, the Alamo have gone on social media to pay tribute to Ozzy. So this is their post that I believe, well, just says social media. Oh, it's... It was shared to the memorial's official Instagram page. We at the Alamo are saddened to hear of the passing of legendary musician Ozzy Osbourne. His relationship with the Alamo was marked initially by a deeply disrespectful incident in 1982. This act profoundly and rightfully upset many who hold this site sacred. However, redemption and reconciliation eventually become part of his history as well. In 1992, Ozzy personally apologised to then-Mayor Nelson Wolfe and expressed genuine remorse for his actions. Decades later, in 2015, he revisited the Alamo grounds to learn and appreciate the site's profound history, openly demonstrating humility and understanding. At the Alamo, we honour history in all its complexities. Today, we acknowledge Ozzy Osbourne's journey from regret to reconciliation at the historic site, and we extend our condolences to his family, friends and fans around the world. May he rest in peace. Imagine one of the woke crowd coming out with something like that. Okay, someone said something. I mean, we know the stories. There's a guy's... successful somewhere, he said something in the 1990s, a politically incorrect comment, it was dealt with at the time, suddenly it gets dug up, he loses his job. Okay, dealt with, it's all finished, but no, because he said it, he can't work again. That's the difference between Christianity, forgiveness, the, you know, and this communism, which is just make sure anyone who ever says anything that we don't like is punished for the rest of their lives. That's the difference. Okay, let's move on to Daily Mail. They published an article about the ultimate karaoke songs. And this is apparently according to science, because Oxford University mathematician Dr. Tom Crawford devised a formula that combines the number of verses, repetition of chorus, beats per minute, and the year the song was released. And this is how he's come up with his top 10 lists. They're doing some really fascinating work at Oxford University, but I prefer them to be messing about with this than AstraZeneca vaccine, shall we say. But let me scroll down to the list. I do a lot of top 10s on here, so this won't be out of place. Number 10, Let Me Love You by Mario. Number 9, Wannabe by Spice Girls. Number 8, Someone Like You by Adele. Don't recognise a lot of these. Number 7, Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield. Number 6, Gimme, Gimme, Gimme a Man After Midnight by ABBA. I know that one. Number 5, 500 Miles by The Proclaimers. That's a brilliant track. Number 4, Man, I Feel Like a Woman by Shania Twain. Number 3, Don't Look Back in Anger by Oasis. Number 2, I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston. And number 1, Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. Okay, there you go. And I was talking about this MasterChef series in the UK, where initially we had this Greg Wallace character apparently being accused of all sorts of sexual impropriety. And then we had his co-host, because many people thought, well, this guy's gone, so they're going to find a new co-host for John Turode. But apparently John Turode said something about many years ago, was it 2019, something like that, and now he's had to go too. But the part of the fallout of this was that they'd already filmed a new series together. It's all done and dusted. And the contestants in the series, they have to give up their own time to appear on the series, and previous winners, or even people that I believe have done well in the series, have gone on to be picked up by, I don't know, presumably decent restaurants, stuff like that, have taken them on. So it's kind of worked for them. So they were worried that it wouldn't get broadcast, and therefore all the time that they gave up to do the series, because they don't get paid, they only get expenses. I think, you know, if they have to stay overnight, they get things like that at a hotel. Obviously, they want their 15 minutes of fame, and hopefully they want a nice job offer out of it as well. Well, it turns out they're now going to air the show. So the BBC have decided that they're going to air the show. Their statement said, I should have just read this, shouldn't I? In a statement, the BBC said, MasterChef is an amazing competition which is life-changing for the amateur chefs taking part. The focus of it has always been their skill and their journey. And in showing the... oh, they've just broken the statement up. I mean, why don't they just put the whole statement in one place? Okay, so... this has not been an easy decision in the circumstances, and we appreciate not everyone will agree with it. In showing the series, which was filmed last year, it in no way diminishes our view of the seriousness of the upheld findings against both presenters. We have been very clear on the standards of behaviour that we expect of those who work at the BBC or on shows made by the BBC. Yeah, just look at the likes of Hugh Edwards and Jimmy Savile. However, we believe that broadcasting this series is the right thing to do for these cooks who have given so much to the process. We want them to be properly recognised and give the audience the chance to watch the series. Well, I think that that is the right decision, personally. You know, if you'd given up your time and you'd done that and suddenly you were told that you weren't going to be broadcast, it's a bit annoying, isn't it? It's a bit like sort of, I don't know, you do a scene in a movie. I remember that I was watching some deleted scenes the other day, and there was one with a prominent actor in it. I'm not going to mention it because I'm going to refer to it in tomorrow's show. It was about 8 or 9 minute scene, but didn't feel it fit the film, so that never got put in the film. So I imagine you're still going to get paid as the actor doing it, but another reason for doing it is you hope that if the film does well, it increases your profile and gets you more work. So you'd rather it was actually there as you filmed it, wouldn't it? Okay, so then we've got the BBC. White House pushes back after reports Trump is named in Epstein files. Well, the very simple thing, Trump, to do is just release them like you said you would. It's amazing to me. And I found it quite interesting that when he suddenly, and I mean, this shocked me, I have to say. Very few things shocked me, but let's be honest. We all knew that there was a list. We thought that they were probably, oh, well, no, we're not going to release it. Stuff like that. That's what I thought was going to happen. But to actually have his attorney general suddenly say, there is no list, it was just him watching child porn and things like that on the internet. And then for that to happen, when the head of Israel was being hosted by Trump at that very table where his attorney general made that statement, I find quite interesting when you consider the amount of people in... the media that are linking Epstein to Mossad, which is Israel's intelligence agency. So yeah, that was quite interesting there. But fortunately, even the mainstream media aren't letting up on this. And we hope that something will come out and things will change. The idea of using children in sexual blackmail is absolutely abhorrent. But these are the sort of things that go on. It goes back to the four planks of the Illuminati, using sex blackmail. Well, you see, if you look at, President Woodrow Wilson, he was blackmailed into allowing the Federal Reserve to go through. Was it the Federal Reserve or was it into going into World War One? I forget which. But he was blackmailed because he was having, I think he was only sending romantic letters to a woman. But back then, just over 100 years ago, that would have been enough to destroy your career. You know, now that you've got people, you can be bed hopping left, right and centre, it doesn't do anything. So the only thing that's left is something like pedophilia that they can use. Because we've become so accepting of this immorality that wouldn't have been tolerated just over 100 years ago. Okay, so finally... The Macrons have filed a defamation suit against Candace Owens. And it's basically because Candace Owens has said that she would stake her entire professional reputation on her belief that Mrs. Macron is in fact a man. Okay, so there you go. That's let's have a look now. Let me see, I'm getting all confused doing things in a sort of different way with all that stuff about Deagle. Yeah, so what's the next thing that I do? That is to go see what's going on right now in the mainstream media, and some of this stuff I found this morning, so it might still be there. Associated Press, apnews.com, that's what I generally start with. Trump's trip to Scotland highlights his complex relationship with his mother's homeland. So I knew that he was visiting. We've got a couple of police outside a hotel, so it looks like he's probably arriving any minute. That's Trump going there. Let's go over to Reuters.com, see what's going on over there. Russian plane crashes in Russia's Far East. Nearly 50 people on board feared dead. So that is breaking news at the top. Went up 24 minutes ago. Let's go over to BBC News. Let's do their top 10. Okay, so these are the most top 10 red stories. Number 10, as porn sites apply new age checks, will users hand over personal ID? Number 9, in a Haitian city ruled by gangs, young rape survivor raises baby she was told to abort. Number 8, universities are failing us on mental health, say students, but should it really be up to them? Number 7, assistant who accused Kanye West of sexual assault in hiding, lawyer says. Number 6, some asylum seekers misusing payment cards for gambling. Number 5, wreckage found after plane carrying 49 people goes down in Russian Far East. Number 4, UK vehicle making its lowest level since 1953. Number 3, just 7,000 steps a day cuts health risks, study says. Number 2, crushing cancer treatment delays and 4-star asylum fiasco. And number 1, one I just mentioned, White House pushes back after reports Trump is named in Epstein files. And one thing that I regularly do on this show is I start something and I forget to finish it. Now, I said there were 3 events in the so-called conspiracy world that I follow. Planet X, the Deagle figures. The other one was the David Goldberg's final words, where he talks about Project Pogo and Project Cypher and how they're going to silence all their critics. The he talks about Israel and Israel censorship and stuff like that. And he died shortly after releasing that statement. So Project Pogo, I think, was the one that was being used to identify all the people who were critical. And we can see the start of these they're trying to do regarding anti-Semitism in the United States with the legal system. It's interesting how certain people on YouTube who might attract that an audience critical of the government, such as Richie from Boston, have suddenly got their YouTube channels back, almost as if, oh well, let's see if we can identify some more people here with Project Pogo. And Project Cypher was the project to essentially silence all these people, and you could read that any way you like. I think David Goldberg said it would be people could be being taken away in the middle of the night, being any of their neighbours being told that they had some sort of disease, they were contagious, they were taken away, they'll never be seen again, etc., etc. And he said it was absolutely shocking and frightening. I can't get to BitChute anymore in the UK, but certainly it was around BitChute, David Goldberg's final words, and also you probably find it on Rumble, but have a look round and good luck with that if that's something that interests you. It's about, not long, it's about 20 minutes just to listen to. Okay, so let's have a look at the Daily Mail, see what's going on at the top of that page. Ozzy Osbourne is seen just 2 days before his death in a final heartwarming video having breakfast with his family. So this, I believe, it says it was shared by his daughter Kelly Osborne on her Instagram story on July the 20th, just 2 days before Ozzy Osbourne died. So if you want to have a look at that, that's at the top of the dailymail.co.uk website. So let's go over and have a look and see what's going on in the independent news. We'll start off with RT.com. The banner, newsflash, is obviously about the plane crash in Russia. The top story is Russian negotiator names terms for Putin-Zelensky meeting. The leaders should only meet after a peace deal is finalised, Vladimir Medinsky says. So let's move on to rents.com. See what's going on over there. Just wait for that site to load up. There's a article at the top. It's a little video. Jake GTV, latest on the Epstein files vanishing. So you might want to have a look at that. These videos are generally quite short, punchy and to the point. The top story is the inevitable nuclear war when judgment fell from the sky and rained upon nations. There you go. DOJ announces imminent meeting with Ghislaine Maxwell. And then something is physically wrong with Trump. Massive diaper failure repulses people nearby. Trump's physical odour is driving people away. Many show their extreme disgust. So they're among the top five stories on the rents.com site. We'll may as well do the second one then. Alarm after key nuclear testing and monitoring office at State Department gutted of staff known for efforts to ban explosive nuclear testing. That takes you to a Zero Hedge article, so be prepared for lots of oppressive pop-ups. HalTurnerRadioShow.com. US approves another $172 million in Ukraine weapons aid. Well, again, this Martin Armstrong interview I was talking about yesterday with Alex Jones, I actually listen to the one he did that Jeff Rentz put up with Greg Hunter, and it was a lot better, a hell of a lot better. I ended up listening to it twice. I was scratching around for things to listen to yesterday, and you know, if you try looking at these Deagle.com figures, if you want to try looking for each country, there's different countries on each of the six pages, and you have to wait ages for each page to load up. Then you have to keep going back and forth, hovering your mouse over, so it gets quite boring. So it's one of those things I didn't really need to concentrate that much on. It was more a waiting game for the thing to load up. Because we should be grateful, though, for something like the Wayback Machine, because if that didn't exist, we wouldn't have this data. So there you go. The reason I'm mentioning it, this Martin Armstrong, is he's talking about there's going to be, yeah, a big war, things like that. He can't see any other way. And he was also talking about this 50-day peace ultimatum I think Trump has given to Putin. And that apparently expires, I believe, in early September. And when you see stories like the US approving more, I mean, Ukraine weapons, what they're basically doing is they're giving them money to buy weapons to attack Russia with, or it might even be money in the form of US weapons. I mean, I don't think Ukraine make their own weapons. And again, taking back to the you know, the show title, War Between BRICS and NATO, I won't read it all again just yet. There's been talk about how many of the NATO countries are completely depleted weapons wise because of all the weapons they've given to the Ukraine. So what have they really got left to fight with? And I fully appreciate people's view that, you know, why would the powers that should not be want to destroy all the infrastructure, all the tracking and stuff and that they've built in places like the West, the United Kingdom, what have you? Well, how many potholes do you think they have in some of these BRICS nations? I mean, obviously, some are still, you know, developing nations. I would imagine somewhere like, you know, Indonesia or stuff like that. But you look at these super fast chains in super fast infrastructure like trains in China, different things that they do out there. Iran was very advanced. Of course, they were attacked recently. And it makes you wonder how many potholes do they have over in places like that? Well, we get them all through the West, and it's almost as if, well, you know, we're not going to keep repairing potholes because you're not going to be around for much longer. We want to spend money building up our new industrial hub. I mean, what does the West actually produce anymore? All the manufacturing was sent over to the likes of India and China. So, again, that's something that do these people really care? This communist element, because that's what a lot of their belief system is. They hate heritage. They hate anything. They love, one of their things is loving meaningless art. So I think that they'd love the opportunity to destroy a country like the UK with churches that go back, you know, many hundreds of years, in some cases a lot more than that, even over 1,000. Things like that. They'd love that. They like to destroy. So this is very possible that, all right, they want to track us and all that now until they don't need us. I mean, depopulation, that's what they seem to be pushing for. So they could depopulate a whole area, the West, who they've been, you know, been treating rather badly in recent decades, let's be quite honest. This would be the final step, wouldn't it? Okay, so, again, President of Israeli Knesset tells AIPAC we may have to attack Iran again. That's the second headline down on HowTurnTheRadioShow.com. So you can see how that could also get the BRICS nations together. And I still believe that this is all that this is all meant to happen and they're all in collusion, okay? But they need to be able to sell it to you. Like an archduke was shot and so World War One started, all right? Something stupid like that. I mean, that sounds really ridiculous. This sounds a lot more plausible. So they'll sell it to you this way. Well, you know, Israel attacked Iran again, and so that brought Russia into attacking Israel. All these sorts of things. These scenarios that could be used in order to justify what would ultimately happen to the West and say, well, it was all because it all got out of control, when in fact it was all in control from the very off. That's the way I see things with my conspiratorial mind. Okay, earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Else's website. He has got his a video at the top. Built before history. What if the pyramids weren't built by the Egyptians? It's nearly 2.5 hours. It's by Good Night's History. It's a Rumble video. So if you fancy something like that, that is at the top of the website. Let's have a look at the quote of the day. This is from George Washington, Saturday, March the 15th, 1783. For if men are to be precluded from offering their sentiments on a matter which may involve the most serious and alarming consequences that can invite the consideration of mankind, reason is of no use to us. The freedom of speech may be taken away, and dumb and silent, we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. It's all down to freedom of speech, folks. When they take that away and they start banning books, as they did with a lot of people, including myself, on Amazon, so they deprive you of the biggest audience market in the world. They do that for a reason. They don't say it's not true. They censor it because they don't want people to know about it. What does that tell you? Okay. So let's finish off with the Before It's News Top 10. BeforeIt'sNews.com Top 10. Okay, so just waiting for that to load up. Give me time to have another quick drink. Okay, so just scroll down here, waiting for their pop-up. Number 10, went up 4 hours ago, 83 people viewing. David Nino Rodriguez, Red Alert 72425. A mass casualty false flag event coming, get ready. Number 9, went up 6 hours ago, 93 people viewing. Bo Polney, urgent emergency, 7/24/2025, a message to America, this will affect everyone in 2 weeks. Number 8, went up 5 hours ago, 104 people viewing. Situation update, 7/24/2025, Obama authorized assassination attempt on Trump. Number 7, went up 8 hours ago, 116 people viewing. Mike King, Trump and Q secret, 7/24/2025, Obama primed for arrest, Trump does a blitzkrieg. I was thinking, funny enough, I heard someone talking about Q yesterday, and I had an idea for a show title. It was, anyone who tells you to trust the plan is part of the plan. And then I thought, well, that's not really fair, because there might be some people, you know, starting out just like myself when I was first getting into things like conspiracy theories and finding my way until I found what I felt to be true and false, and was able to overcome all the banana skins along the way, the red herrings designed to divert you from what the truth is. And that may be one of the first things that people find, and then hopefully they'll find their way to the truth past stuff like that. So you can't paint everyone who looks at that with a broad brush, because they may still be in their learning mode, if you like, that part. Okay. So number 6, well, up 8 hours ago, 154 people viewing. New X22 report, Trump DOJ begins mass arrests, Obama took the bait, hot updates 2025. Number 5, well, up 8 hours ago, 165 people viewing. Michael Jayco, Ricardo Bossi and Derek Johnson, 7/24/25, Obama the first arrest, dropping never before heard. And the headline runs out. Number 4, went up 8 hours ago, 178 people viewing. Juan O'Savin and David Nino Rodriguez, 7/24/25, Obama and cataclysmic events to come. Number 3, went up 12 hours ago, 220 people viewing. Stunning new developments, the Pleiadians prime creators' dimensions. And number 2, went up 11 hours ago, 352 people viewing. Situation UFO update, alien technology in our universe, US debt collapse and geoengineering. And number 1, well, up 11 hours ago, it's gonna be massive, knowing the truth will shock. Did I say 394 people viewing? Well, up 11 hours ago, number 1, it's gonna be massive, knowing the truth will shock you, starseed on Earth, Ashtar command ready. It's the Pleiadians, folks, according to the show image above it. Well, I hope that they're right. We certainly need someone to get us out of here, but I do not believe that that is going to be the case. But that being said, let's play the closing music. I want to thank all of you for joining me on today's bonus show, How the Deagle.com Depopulation Percentages Indicate a 2025 War Between Brits and NATO That Brits Will Win. I'll be back with you all again tomorrow, and until then, folks, thank you for listening, have a wonderful day, and bye for now.